And if you would, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. We're going to be looking at these verses this morning as we have been traveling through the book of Revelation for some weeks now. We've already saw a lot of things that have taken place. We're now kind of moving toward the end of the book of Revelation. You are aware that John was on the Isle of Patmos when God gave him these visions, these things that he is writing down, things that had been, would be, and were to come. We've looked that God is going to reveal himself in the tribulation period. We saw that there are going to be three series of judgments that God is going to cast upon this world. There will be seven sealed judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and then we looked just a couple weeks ago at the seven vial or bowl judgments that God will pour out upon this world. You see, though man may think that he's in control, and though Satan may think he's winning, I know the end of the story. I know the conclusion to the whole matter, and in Revelation, God is allowing us to see it through the penmanship led of the Holy Spirit of John, the Revelator. Now, I want to pick up there in chapter 17. We're going to look at the 18 verses that are before us. Now, I know I've said it a couple times that these are sometimes difficult chapters or verses to understand. And let me just assure you, I do not have all understanding of all things of the Bible. There are some questions I got in my Bible, question marks, that I'm thinking, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, what did that really mean? Well, this chapter's got a few of those things that I may have to have some clarification on. But we're going to try to help you understand what chapter 17 is all about. There in verse 1, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come up, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, These waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are people, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, just reading that chapter, it sounds pretty confusing, don't it? But there again, God has something for us here. We have already looked in chapters 14, 15, and 16. We saw where the last judgment of God is being poured out. Here in chapter 17, we're going to see what is known as the fall of religious Babylon. Now, next week, Lord willing, in chapter 18, we will see the fall of what is commercial Babylon. Now, we are seeing the fulfillment of Scripture in chapter 17. I think we're seeing also the beginning of the fulfillment of that Scripture right now in our day and age. You see, somewhere coming in our future, there's going to be a one-world religion that is controlled by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Satan will empower two men to take control of the world. And one of the ways that they will do that is through religion. Somehow they will bring the various denominations, cults, schisms, religions of the world together. In Sunday school, I believe Brother Richard mentioned that little tag or that little thing we see on some people's car, coexist. And they'll have all the various religious symbols, and they say, well, we're all going to just coexist. That's beginning right now. We're seeing to where there are some who used to hold to doctrinal truths. They used to stand for the Word of God, and we see Christians and churches now, they're beginning to compromise their stand. They're beginning to sway toward the coexist, one-world religious mentality. It's coming. It will be set up for the Antichrist and the false prophet when they come on the scene. Now, Babylon that is mentioned here, you'd have to go and study that a little bit back there in the Old Testament. But we're going to see that Babylon that is mentioned here in chapter 17 and chapter 18 was alluded to also, I believe, in the previous chapters. When you think of Babylon, you got to think of a city. You got to think of a political system, and you got to think about a world religion. Think of Babylon not as just one identity, but having these three fragments that stretch out, and God will bring his judgment upon all three of those, and we see two of them, his judgment falling upon here in chapter 17. So let's just jump right into here and look at Babylon fallen, the false religion. Now, there in verses 1 through 6, we see the Babylonian mother. Now notice in verse 1 her popularity. It says, and there came out of the seven, and they came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters. Now this religious system, this one-world religion, society, if you want to call it that, it will be very popular. We see it sits upon many waters here. It will be powerful. It will be very wealthy here. It will be made up of people, nation, tongues, of all different groups here. So when you think about what is coming in the tribulation period, if you are a pre-trib believer as I am, and you believe the church is going to be raptured out of this world before the 7 years of tribulation, once the church is raptured out of here, there will be a religious vacuum that needs to be filled. And it will be filled by this false church here. And many people will go to it. You see, I've learned this. Those who reject the truth will always run to a lie. It just happens that way. You reject Jesus Christ, the truth, and you're going to run to the other side of Satan and all his falsehoods. I've seen it throughout my Christian life. I've seen it through preaching and teaching the Word of God. I've seen it even through church members See, God has a path that he wants us to walk upon, and that is truth. If you get outside the path of truth, there's no other way to go but to error of falsehood. And there will be so many people during the tribulation period who rejected the truth, and they will accept the lie, this false religion that is coming here. So we see it'll be very popular. But it goes beyond that. Notice in verse 2 her perversion, this religious system, how perverted it will be. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now there again, he uses some rough words here, fornication. He uses words that you wouldn't want to call your daughter or your wife here listed in this verse. He lists that the kings of the earth will follow and help this system. Now, I thought about this morning. When you get governments, or you get people of political power who reject the truth, they're always going to support error and falsehood. You get political systems or people who reject that children are children at conception, and they reject that, where are they going to go? They go to the other side that they're nothing and go ahead and kill them. So you see, the political system of the tribulation period, it is going to embrace and support the religious era that is being spread during that time by Satan, his Antichrist, and the false prophet. And the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan is nothing but falsehood, and falsehood always brings perversion. And it always shows up in perverted acts, be it the murder of children, be it open immorality. I mean, when you go back and study some of the cults of the past, and you look at what they practice, cults that reject Christ open themselves up to do anything in the name of religion. So we see there will be perversion committed and performed and promoted not only by the government during the tribulation period, but embraced by the people that are in that false system. You see, this world religion will use her charms to get people in. We see that happening today. You know, I believe we are a God-fearing, Bible-believing church here. And look at the empty pews. But I could take you into this town where there are pews that are filled in churches by those that are not God-believing, doctrinally sound church members. You see, it's happening right now. Open your eyes, it's happening right now. Everything is being set up for what's coming in the tribulation period. I mean, this false religion will be popular. It will be perverted. Notice in verse 3, its prediction. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blaspheming and having seven heads and ten horns. The woman represents this false religious system. Now, in verse 3, she is supported, she's upheld by a beast that she is riding upon. Now, picture in your mind that the woman mentioned here is false religion. The beast here is represented the Antichrist, Satan's man, or any false government that is supporting her. That's what John is seeing here. That's what he's trying to explain to us that he wrote nearly 2,000 years ago that he saw that God revealed to him. You see, this beast, the Antichrist, the political powers of the tribulation period that be, they will support this religious system for what they can use this religious system for. They will get everything out of this religious system that will help them dominate the world populace at the time. You see, when the tribulation happens, this world is going to go in chaos. We've already seen that. When all the plagues that God sends upon and all those judgments, this world is going to be in a mess. And they need some political system. They need some man to rise up and take control. We know it'll be the Antichrist. He'll be supported by the false prophet. He'll be empowered by Satan. And now you're going to have the world's populace are also going to embrace him. So you're going to have a one world religious system upheld by a one world dictatorship and political system. So John sees it's here in these verses. You know, what will happen during the tribulation period? False religion, the church of the tribulation period, will be binded with the governmental political system of the tribulation period. You'll have church and state joined together. This will not be the first time this has happened. You go back into the early Christianity time when the false church arised about 300, where Rome embraced the church. The power of Rome that controlled the world became and joined the church together. Now the power of Rome politically and the power of Rome and the church, they came together. And when that happens, all kind of errors come out of that. That is what's going to happen during this time of the tribulation period. Somebody said, Brother Terry, is this going to be the Catholic Church? No. I believe it goes beyond that. I believe it will involve every denomination, every schism, every religion that is not Christ's New Testament church. They're going to come together. The political powers of the tribulation will marry the religious powers of the tribulation, and they will support each other. Why? Because they want to control the world that is in chaos. They want to bring together some sense of sensibility in a state, in a world that has gone crazy. So we even seeing that being prepared now. We see the one world system coming together. All we're waiting on now is that one world political power to come together. And I guarantee you right now, if the United Nations or the powers that be could make that happen today, it would happen today. But you know what's standing in the way? Number one, the Lord's New Testament church. We believe in separation of church and state. And as the United States, we believe that all nations are sovereign in and of themselves, and no other nation should tell a nation what to do. So right now it's being held back. But what happens when the church is taken out of here? What happens when the United States is weakened to a point to where they can't make that stand any longer? Then you see there, verses 3 and verse 4 all come together. Notice the prosperity of this combined union, of this church and also of this political system. Notice in verse 4, this woman representing that false religious system. It says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet robes, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Notice her attire, the garments, the wealth. Notice what the tap rings that are all around her. This will be a very powerful religious system. And it will be a very wealthy religious system. You say, Brother Terry, can churches be wealthy? Well, we're blessed. We pay our bills every month, don't we? But see, there are some churches out there. There are some denominations. It would amaze you at how much money they're worth. The Catholic Church worth over $100 billion. The Mormon Church worth billions of dollars. There's a ranch. If you ever go to Keeningsville, Florida, go to Yeehaw Junction. See, y'all ought to write this down. Y'all going to miss this. Go to Keeningsville. I'll get it straight. Florida, and go to Yeehaw Junction. It's just a red light at a crossroad. There you'll find a Mormon ranch of about 50,000 acres. We got a little Baptist church smaller than this right on the corner of that. Man, I seen that, and somebody said, yeah, that's the Mormon. They own all this. I thought, wow, they're wealthy. But then you start beginning to look at the Islam religions and the wealth that religion has. It'll be no different. You know, I've learned that religion somehow likes to get wealth. You got TV evangelists and preachers that like to use it to get wealth. But during the tribulation period, this will be a wealthy, well-run religious system. supported by the political system. There is money in religion. But notice verse 5. Notice the names, her personality. What will this religious system be known for or like? And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. That's her first name. The Mother of Harlots, that's her second name. And the Abomination of the Earth. Now notice, it gives us the name and the personality. It shows her origin, her offspring, and what her operation will be. She will be Babylon the Great. Go all the way back into the book of Genesis. Find a man named Nimrod and do a little research on him. You remember he came together and he got all the people of the world together. They're going to build a tower up to God. The Tower of Babel. God had to confuse the languages of the people of the world, or they would have tried to do that. See, they wanted to reach heaven without having to go to God. That's where this false, that's the origin of this false system that begins. But when you see her operation here and her offspring, the mother of harlots, you see that false religion has had her offspring throughout the ages of mankind. And they have sprung up as different denominations and religions throughout the entire man's history here on this earth. And her operation is what? Abominations of the earth. It's a system of the old time that's just trying to reinvent itself in the new age that we're living in now. The humanism, the new age movement. Listen, when those go into the tribulation period that are left behind and they are introduced to this religious system, it's nothing new. It's just the old remanufacturing itself in our day, but still bringing with it all the damnable lies and all its filthiness and all its immorality and everything that is ungodly. You see, that's what the world's going to. And that's what they're going to face. Notice in verse 6, her prosecutors. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints. And with the blood of martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. John was so overwhelmed at what he saw. This woman drunken with the blood of saints and the martyrs of Jesus. This religious system, this false religious system that is responsible for the death of millions and millions of true believers. You study the Dark Ages out. You read during the Dark Ages, nearly 50 million Baptists were killed by false religion. You look today, they are God-believing, true believers in Christ who are being killed today by false religion. You go over there into the Middle East. You go over there in some place and you stand up and say, I'm a born-again, baptized believer in Jesus. Amen. He's the only way to heaven. You know what might happen? You may lose your head. False religion that reject the truth, Jesus, will always go the way of error, and error always brings harm and hardship to the true believers. So this religious system that the world embraces is drunken on the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Somebody made a statement. Read the Trail of Blood. That the Baptist history is written in blood. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to have on our sign, let's see, down there, I always point the wrong direction, Hillside Baptist Church. I don't have a problem with that. I identify with the Baptist because I believe the Baptists hold the truest doctrines closest to what Jesus taught in the New Testament. And I'm not ashamed of that. But there are a lot who don't like that. And the false religion would do everything in the world to get that Baptist name off that hillside sign down there. You don't need to identify you as a Baptist. Let's all get along. Let's just coexist. And those that don't coexist, those that don't give in, over the ages, this mother of harlots has drunken the blood and killed many of them. Now notice in verse 7 through 13, we're introduced to the religious system. That's the harlot. That's the mother of Babylon. But now we're going to see the monster of Babylon that she sits upon. If it's hard to identify and understand verses 1 through 6, wow, verses 7 through 13 really kind of make you go to thinking. Notice what he says there in verse 7. He identifies the beast. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. The identity of the beast. Is it the Antichrist? Is it Satan? Is it some other identity or some other personality? World leader, I think he's the world leader number 7 and number 8. There again, we know that a man called the Antichrist, somewhere being prepared probably right now, will rise up in the tribulation period. He will be the world's dictator during those 7 years, or at least a portion of them. There have only been a few world dictators in the past. He will identify himself as one of them. So you've got this powerful man that the world has surrendered their power to. And he is lifting up or holding up this religious operation that will be going on. Now notice also the identity of the horn. Notice what he has. There are, in verse 12, he has 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. Now it really gets confusing a little bit. This beast has 7 heads, and he's got 10 horns also. The 7 heads could represent 7 governments or 7 nations, could represent 7 individuals or 7 kings, world dictators. These 10 here, they will also lend support to the beast. Now, who are the 10 here? Some feel that maybe these are 10 nations overseas in Europe, that during the tribulation period, the EEC, that will lend their powers to the beast. They're not kings of nations yet, but maybe they will be given authority as kings, but they support the beast. So you got 10 kings over there that's going to be supporting the beast. You're going to have the beast who's going to be lifting up this religious organization, but the 10 kings are only going to support the beast for a short time. And the beast is only going to hold up this woman for a short time. Because we find out eventually there's going to be a battle in verse 14. Seems like the 10 kings there try to take on Christ. It says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Amen. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. See, man may think they are powerful. World leaders and kings and presidents of countries may think that they can do what they want. And somehow these think that they're going to challenge Christ and come out on top. But they do not come out on top, because Christ, we know, is victorious. He's the King of kings. When it's all said and done, he will be the victor. Bible says that we are more than conquerors in him. So we also will be victors. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 15. You see, it goes on to say, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, it will be made up of all people of all nations and all tongues, this religious system. But notice verse 16. It says, and the 10 horns... which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make war, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Somewhere during this tribulation period, these 10 kings, leaders over in Europe, that are supporting the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist, Satan, to uphold the religious system, they turn on her. Because I tell you what, the Antichrist, he will want world dominance, and he will not want any power other than his. And he will realize that this religious power is trying to basically overcome him. So there's a war here. They turn on this religious system. And the Bible says they destroy it. I put down in my notes here. When religion has served its purpose, people turn against religion. Some people only turn to God when He can help them. But when God don't show up for them as they think God should show up for them, then they turn on Him. I've learned also, it's a shame to say this, but sometimes Christians and church members, when they find out that the Lord or the church can't do for them what they think that the church ought to do for them, they will turn on their church. Notice the words that they rob them here. They strip them of all her riches, the necessities that she had. See, I learned over in Albania, when we lived over there, the dictator Hoxha, not only did he want to wipe out religious beliefs for 45 years, but the churches were destroyed. You see, when religion cannot support a political system, the political system will turn on that religion every time and try to just wipe it off the map. So you're going to have two conflicting powers during the tribulation period, the religious false system and this dictator political system, and they're going to turn on each other there at the end. So not only are you going to have all the plagues that God's sending down, killing people and making a mess of this world, but then you're going to have this battle that takes place between the two. But notice verse 17, who's in control really? For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom to the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. You see, God will have two opponents during the tribulation period, false religion and a false political system. God says, you know what, I'm just going to use the political system to take out the religious system, and then I'll deal with the political system. That's kind of like divide and conquer, ain't it? So God is in control. His sovereignty over nations will lead these 10 kings to give their power unto the beast so that they can turn upon this woman Babylon, this religious system. But notice verse 18. It says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now you say, Brother Terry, you just confused me by reading that verse. I wish you wouldn't have read that verse because it's confusing. You said this Mother Babylon is a religious system. You said that we will see her next week as a commercial system. But yet here in this verse it says it is a great city. So you got to ask yourself, is this speaking of the great city Babylon itself? Or is this speaking of another city, a religious city that has ruled and combine political and religion together? Some say this is speaking about Rome here. I'll just throw it out there. I've heard so many people, this is Washington, D.C. I've heard everything. At least they ain't said it's Knoxville yet. But some feel that the city of Rome sits upon seven hills. Some say D.C. sits upon seven hills. I don't know. I do know religious, political, economical, and even the city, whatever it represents here is Babylon, Christ will overcome it. Now here's the questions I conclude with. I asked you three things here. Are you following the truth? You better be. Because you get off the path of truth, wow. There's no telling where you may end up. Here's my next one. Whose side you going to be on when this all happens? And better yet, are you on the winning side? You see, whatever you decide today sets you up for your future. I don't know when the rapture is going to happen. It'd be great if it happened this morning. That'd thrill me to death. Wouldn't that be neat? Hear the trumpet sound.